Now, I want you girls to tell me what you can about this Indian club.
I won't look at it again. I won't.
Murder is not very pleasant, but we can't have a killer on the loose, so you've all got to help me. Okay?
Okay, Lieutenant Silvers.
All right. Now, about this Indian club, Miss Hallam.
I checked, as you asked me to, Lieutenant Silvers. There is one Indian club missing from the bottom rack.
When did it disappear?
I don't know when it disappeared. I'm so used to seeing them there day after day, I suppose I just don't notice them anymore.
Nobody notices them. They've been there since the year one when Miss Kennedy started this school.
And we never use the dreary old thing.
Miss Hallam coaches us in tennis. We never use such antiquated things.
All right, hold it, kids. I want to sort out this time business Angela was talking about, this 10, 11, 12 routine. What about it, Angel? What did you mean by that? Can you explain it to me?
Well, you see, the three of us, we lost our Sunday, Uncle Greg.
How?
Well, due to Miss Conway, that old sourpuss.
Angela.
I don't care if she is dead, mean old cat. It was her fault.
Our only fault was getting caught.
And her punishments are so mean.
Now, one at a time, kids. Go ahead, Angel. What happened?
Well, we cut biology lab last Friday, Uncle Greg.
Yeah?
We went and played tennis instead.
And old cat Conway said we had to make up our work this morning. She doesn't think anyone should have any fun except herself. And her idea of that is messing with dead frogs.
She said you had to make up your lab work this morning.
That's right. That's
Angela
right.
At 10, Pamela at 11, and Gwen at 12.
Yes, miss.
Excuse me, but... It was at 9 o'clock when I am working in the Rose Garden that I hear the ladies very angry together. They quarrel, you
what
know.
What ladies?
Oh, the Senorita Conway and the Senorita Hallam here. They shout in anger.
Is that true, Miss Hallam?
What? Yes. Yes, I did lose my temper with Ann Conway.
I think it's about a man they shout. That is what you women usually fight over, no?
That's a lie.
And what was it about, Jane?
This Sunday assignment. It's the girls' only free day to sleep late, to fuss with their nails and hair, to relax.
Go on.
Well, I went to see Ann to ask her to let the three girls off.
At what time?
As Jose says, 9 o'clock. Also, I thought if they had to make up the assignment, Anne might at least let them all work together at 10 and not spoil their whole morning by scheduling them an hour apart.
And Miss Conway refused?
Yes. Just told me to stick to my half-witted gymnastics and leave the teaching of a subject that required intelligence to her.
She was sore because Miss Kennedy always leaves Miss Hallam in charge when she goes away.
Yeah, it made her boil.
So she was taking it out on Miss Hallam as well as on us.
Okay, hold it. Jose, what time did you start work?
Oh, early, of course, 7. One does not water roses when the sun is high. I see Senorita Hallam come to the gym and go to this laboratory place where the Senorita Conway is.
Was she carrying anything?
I do not notice. I am working. I only hear them quarrel.
Jose, you're mean to try to get Miss Hallam into trouble.
Angela, please.
I tell only the truth, only what I hear.
Why Miss Kennedy keeps you around? What anyone
Pamela,
sees
be quiet.
Yes, everyone, please keep quiet. Now, Miss Hallam, is the gym kept locked?
Just at night. The girls keep their rackets and sneakers in their lockers, so I open it early Sunday morning, about 8, in case any of them want to play tennis before breakfast, which is late on Sunday. It's at 9.
And the lab?
Same thing. Ann Conway always opened it early in case any of the girls want to work Sunday morning.
Imagine anyone in their right mind wanting to.
So anyone could enter the lab from 8 on, hmm? Anyone could help themselves to an Indian club from the gym from 8 on. Now, Miss Hallam, a few more necessary questions. After you left the gym...
Lieutenant Silver's questioning went on. They sat there, the three scared kids, Gene Hallam and the young gardener. Their tenseness grew. Even Gene Hallam's calm deserted her. Only the handsome Mexican gardener seemed indifferent. But his dark eyes were wary as they slid from Angela to Pamela to Gwen to Gene and then back to Lieutenant Silver's. That lad was hiding something, of that I was sure. And Silver's questions weren't getting the right answers. I interrupted and asked Lieutenant Silvers to come outside on the terrace. I had something I wanted to tell him. You see, I had a hunch. Just a hunch.
But, Greg, it couldn't be. What you've just said makes no sense. None at all.
Look, Stan, I'm trying to save you trouble. I've tried to get this thing finished before the kids' parents descend on you like avenging furies. And, brother, they will. Nice. They'll have your hide plus your shield if you take their kids downtown for questioning. Not to mention what my sister will do when she gets back.
Okay, Greg. It's your niece. If you want to chance it, go ahead. But I still think it's impossible.
I want to chance it. Although Lieutenant Silvers had agreed to let me try it, he was far from convinced. So I went back over my reasons. To be quite honest, I was also trying to prove it to myself, for it seemed, as Silvers had said, it couldn't be. Still following my hunch, I called Angela out on the terrace and told her what I wanted her to do. At first, the kid dug in her heels and refused point blank.
I don't want to, Uncle Greg. I've got a reason.
What reason, baby?
Well, I can't tell you.
You mean blood oath and all that?
Yes. No, I... Oh, please don't ask me. I can't tell you.
Look, Angel, this is the easiest way, believe me. I'll admit I'm only guessing, but I think I'm on the right track.
Pamela and Gwen and I, well, it's a matter of honor. Oh, please, Uncle Greg, please, I can't tell you anymore.
All right, all right. But look here, take my word for it. The sooner this murder is solved, the better it'll be.
But when you give your word of honor, and Miss Hallam says...
Suppose you let me do the worrying about Miss Hallam.
What you want me to do is... Well, it's snide and mean.
So is the murder of Ann Conway, Angela. Even if you did all hate her, she had a right to live.
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Well, will you do it?
You think I should, Uncle Greg?
I do, Angel, and I promise I'll explain everything later.
Well, all right, Uncle Greg. I still don't want to, but I will.
Good girl. Now, you know your cue. You know when I want you to start.
Yes, Uncle Greg.
That's my angel. Now, you go on back inside with the rest. Say nothing about this. Just keep mum and wait for Lieutenant Silvers and me. It was tough on the kid, and I hated to do it. I also felt slightly green about the gills when I thought of what my sister would have to say on the subject of my using her angel child to crack a murder case. Sand Silvers and I left the girls in the room to stew for a bit while we walked with our heads close together so that the little group would think we were deep in consultation. Fortunately, they couldn't hear us because Lieutenant Silver's sulphurous remarks were definitely not for children. Finally, we tossed away our cigarettes and went back in through the French doors to where they were all anxiously waiting for us.
Okay, Jose, let's go.
Me, senor. Where do I go?
Headquarters. I arrest you for the murder of Ann Conway.
Oh, no.
But you cannot. I would never touch the hair of her hair
except to fondle it, fondle that beautiful blonde hair you loved, Jose.
Senor, I tell you...
I'll tell you. The cold and beautiful Miss Conway was in love with you and you with her. You used to meet in the lab, very convenient, the lab, right behind the rose garden where you work. You were in the garden this morning and she was in the lab. You slipped through the back door and you killed her, Jose.
No. She was alive when I left.
Then you do admit you were with her.
Angela. Angel, stop it. Stop.
All right, Gwen. Let's have it.
You know.
I guessed.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Hood. I killed her.
Oh, no, you... Gwen.
Because of Jose here?
Yes.
Jose and Gwen.
Yes. That's why the habanera upset her so. Pam and Angela whistled it to tease her when she told them about her romance with Jose. Remember that day at lunch? They whistled it then because Vince's handsome, dark young grandson reminded them of Jose.
Carmen, who loved Jose.
Angel, you told. And we swore to Gwen we wouldn't say anything about Jose.
I just whistled it because Uncle Greg said it would help. I didn't know. I didn't know, Gwen.
It's all right, Angel. It's quite all right.
Tell me when you did this, Gwen.
At 9:30.
You went to the lab then? Why?
Like Miss Hallam. To ask her if we couldn't make up the assignment together so that we'd get in some tennis before lunch.
And?
She was in Jose's arms. He was making love to her, just like he did to me.
Then?
I don't quite know. I wanted to die. I ran down toward the gym thinking maybe Miss Hallam could...
Gwenny, had I only been there.
And then I saw the Indian clubs. So I snatched one and went back.
Yes?
I don't know what I meant to do. I couldn't think.
And when you got to the lab?
I ran up the walk. They heard me, I guess, and when I went in, Jose was slipping out the back door. And she was pinning up her hair.
I see.
Even then, I didn't mean to kill her. Just to frighten her. But she laughed at me.
When you told her Jose was in love with you.
He was. He was. We were going to be married. We were going to be married when I was 19 and got my grandmother's money. We were going back to Mexico City and buy a place there and raise the best roses in the world.
Yes, Gwenny.
But she laughed at me. She said Jose wanted a woman, not a child. So I hit her. I hit her and I couldn't stop.
Gwen, I'm sorry, kid, but you'll have to come with me.
Don't touch me. Don't anyone touch me. You won't arrest me. You
Gwen,
won't.
Gwen, come back here.
Come back. A kid can certainly run. I can't keep up.
Wait a minute, Stan. Let's try to head her off.
Oh, no, it's too late. She's taking my car.
What happens now?
Well, she can't get far. I told the man at the gate to let nobody through.
You're crazy. Look again. She's already through.
What?
Look, let's go back inside. We'll have the police pick her up before she can head into town.
Yeah, but she's not heading for town. She's gone the other way.
Holy smoke! Come on, Silvers, into my car. We'll have to follow her, but fast. I think I know where she's going. For the next 10 minutes, by my speedometer clocked 85, and Gwen, driving Lieutenant Silver's car, was still far ahead of us. There was a dangerous curve ahead, a curve that marked the beginning of a steep hill. That would be our only chance of catching up with her. But I was fooled. She rounded that curve like crazy and went on up the hill. I wasn't quite so crazy. I slowed a little, and that was fatal. We lost all hope right there. At the top of the hill, she was well out front, but then her car started slowing down.
Hey, look, she's stopping.
She's got to stop. That's the end of the road.
What's ahead?
A cliff that drops right into the bay.
Well, then we've got her. I knew she couldn't get far.
I'm afraid she'll get farther than we think. Here we are.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, the car is empty. No place where she can hide around here.
It's too late, Stan. She did what I thought she'd do when I saw her head this way. She's gone over the cliff. Here endeth the chronicle. Now you know why I'm inclined to agree with Samuel Butler. Youth is like spring, an overpraised season, delightful if it happens to be a favored one, but in practice more remarkable for biting east winds than gentle breezes. And that's why I say you can keep your sentimental quotations about youth. And I'll take Samuel Butler's bitter one, because I must forever carry with me the memory of Gwen, the memory of a lovely child to whom youth was an overpraised season.
You have heard The Case of the Overpraised Season, an adventure from the casebook of Gregory Hood, starring George Petrie. The program was directed by Roy LaPlante and produced by Cy Fisher. Heard on tonight's program were Julie Bennett as Gwen and Bill Zuckert as Lieutenant Silvers. The music was composed by Ralph Norman, script written by Sue Taylor White. This was a Frank Cooper Associates presentation. Listen again next week at the same time when, over most of these stations, ABC will present the story we call The Case of the Champion's Decision. Another adventure from the casebook of Gregory Hood. Now a listening reminder. In just a minute, another eerie adventure in the inner sanctum. Stay tuned. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.